talking about boxing. Just absolutely boxing. We're talking about boxing. Just absolutely boxing. Boxing. Just absolutely boxing.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Just Absolutely Boxing podcast. This is episode 20, the 25th episode, coming up on the 25th of December. Merry Christmas to everybody out there, whatever you celebrate, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa. What's going on, P?
Not too much, man. It's Christmas Eve. We in the lab putting together another episode. So, like you say, hope everybody have a happy holiday, and we just ready to get into it, man.
Oh, yeah, like always. And before I forget, my name's Ant. And today we're gonna be talking about the fighter of the year, and some of you might not agree with it, but me and P, we agree on this. What makes a fighter of the year for you, P?
you know, like we talked about before, and it's a lot of different categories, but for me, it's what most affects the sport of boxing. So, you know, we said a guy can have a lot of knockouts. That's not really impacting the sport of boxing. The guy can have a lot of titles. That's not really impacting the sport. But when a guy is cleaning out divisions, unifying titles, becoming undisputed in certain weight divisions, moving up, you know, trying to make the big fights, calling out the big fighters, those are the things to me that really stand out and really make a guy, you know, a candidate for fight of the year.
Mm-hmm. Especially in this year, 2017, we had a lot of good fights. A lot of good matchups. And to be able to just set that bar and stand out of all of these matchups
and all of that.
Absolutely. You know, whatever the division is, whatever the belt, whatever the championship is, you can just surpass all that and just stand out. It takes a lot.
Right, right.
And to be fighter of the year, you got to do that. You got to be able to, just stand out over all the other fighters. The one fighter that stands out to us this 2017, I'll let you do the announcement, P.
Mr. Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, Terrence Bud Crawford.
Without a doubt, hands down. I mean, like I said, when you look at the big picture, who was most impactful to the sport moving forward, you know what I mean? The sport moving forward, it has to be a guy like Terrence Crawford. You know, he had another awesome year. He had impressive wins. He unified the belts, got all the belts, became undisputed at 140. And he's on his way to 147. And I mean, that's not saying other guys didn't have a good year, but like I say, what was most impactful to the sport? I mean, he's made his mark at 140, saying that, okay, I'm through this division. I'm on to the next division. And it's no other fighter who accomplished that this year. You know, like right. I said, you got guys who won belts, you got guys who had all knockouts, but it's no other fighter who made those accomplishments this year.
Right. And just so people know, to become fighter of the year, it really takes what you did the previous year also, you know?
Yeah.
That's always part of the path, the previous year and mm-hmm. the year before that.
Right.
And everything Terrence Crawford has been doing each year leading up to 2017 is why he's fighter of the year.
Right. He's been progressing.
He's always progressed. He's always looked for the biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, in some people's eyes, it might not seem that way, but Terrence Crawford, to me, like I always said, he has that gift. And he's always shown not just like talent in the ring, but that that mindset, that go-getter mindset, where it's like, this guy has something I want. He's young, undefeated. I'm going after him, you know? Right. He's always did that, whether it was Victor Postol or Julius Ndongo.
Right.
Because those guys were in his weight division. He said, I can't have these other guys in there. You know, I can't just hold on this one belt. They got the other belts. I got to get them.
Exactly. Like we were saying earlier, he's not picking his fights. He's picking who has a belt. You know what I'm saying? He that's how he's going about his fights. Okay, this guy's got a belt. Okay, he's got the WBO. He's got a piece of this. Okay, well, he's my next fight. And that's how he went about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
If one guy jumps from weight class to get belts, that doesn't really prove much. Mm-hmm. But when you're in the same division with other champions, you want to be the dominant one. So you got to get the other belts from the other fighters to prove there's only one champion. Because I don't care how many sanctioned bodies there are. To be the best in your weight division, you got to be the one with one. There's only one championship.
Exactly. I mean, and that's like in anything. I mean, how can you move up any type of ranking without passing the test at each level? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you can't move up any ranking system like that, except for in boxing. You know what I mean? You can go get a belt over here. You can get a belt for over there. You can fight for a vacant title. You know, you could do different things to attain a title in boxing. But most, you know, ranking systems, you have to win something to move up anyway.
Right. And in the title you win, it has to be worth something.
Right.
You know, like most fighters, like we say, when they get a belt from one weight class and jump from another, you know, they're kind of, it's kind of like they're testing the waters first. You know, they're not really saying, hey, I want to win this championship because he's the toughest challenge out there. They're just saying, I want a belt.
Right.
So let me win this one. I want another belt. Let me move up and move back down, you know, whereas whenever Terrence Crawford won his belt, his WBO belt, he wanted the next belt from the undefeated fighter, Victor Postol. So he said, hey, I want a WBC belt, so I can't have another champion in the division, so I'm going after him. He didn't say, okay, I won this one belt, now it's time to move on. He wanted to prove he's the best at 140.
Right.
In order to do that, you got to clean your division out.
And that's what I was about to say, Ed. It's no other fighter that can say they're the best at any weight class because they're not undisputed. He's the only guy that can say, I'm the best at 140. Well, how do you know? Because I proved it.
What I'm saying?
I proved it.
What are people doing right now with 147 and heavyweight? They're trying to decide who's the best.
Trying to decide.
All day long, people are saying Thurman, Spence.
Going back and forth.
You know, exactly. Yeah, they're going back and forth.
Exactly.
Joshua, Wilder. But at 140, who can you say?
It's no debate. It's no conversation at 140. I mean, now they're going to be looking for a new guy at 140, but who was the best guy at 140?
2017 was Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, and he proved it.
And he proved it.
You know, so, I mean, it's just, that speaks for itself. You know what I mean? That speaks for itself. There's no other guy that can say I'm the best guy. No other division, because there's no other guy that's undisputed.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing I always tell you, P, is that for a fighter to show greatness, there's many ways for him to show greatness, but there's always that one unwritten rule where you can just see how the fighter wants to be great, and that's by always taking the next step, not backtracking,
right?
You know, not making excuses or picking other fighters. They're always taking that next step. So after he won all the titles at 140, what's his next step? 147. And at this weight, he's calling out the big names. Unlike some people at 147, he's just stepping in the door and he's showing you that, hey, I'm not afraid to take on the biggest challenge.
Dude, and then I just like how out the gate and fresh off becoming undisputed, you saying I'm at 147 calling out the biggest names. I mean, you hadn't even put on a pound yet. You know what I mean? That's another thing that I like that he did. It shows where his mind. I ain't wasting no time. All right, that's done. I'm on to the next. You know what I mean? I don't got to take a year off. You know, I'm not, you know, got to see how the weight feels. He said, I'm 147. Let's go.
Yeah.
Top dog. Let's go. Errol Spence. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Because some people And that just showed you some people tried to question his resume at 140. But he was taking on the best at 140.
The best at 140.
And now he's proving you, he's proven to, trying to prove to everybody that this is what he's going to do again at 147, right, or at least
right,
attempt.
Right, right. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. People question his competition level. Okay. If you're questioning that, why would this guy be calling out the top guy at 147 and that nobody at 147 really wants to dance with? And before before Bud started calling him out, people weren't even calling him out. Now people calling out Errol Spence.
Yeah.
But before you heard
they waited
Terrence
for
Crawford to call him out, people wasn't calling the dude out.
He was the first guy
I
heard.
The first guy going up to 147 and did it immediately and didn't have to wait immediately. So, I mean, the kid is...
And it's crazy. It took a smaller guy to open the eyes of the big guys in there to say, maybe he ain't that bad. You know, maybe I could take him. But I'm kind of on that fence now. I'm kind of riding with you now, kind of saying I might want to see Crawford Spence first, man. But
I mean, the thing about it, and I don't particularly want to see it first. I'm just saying him calling him out. I have a problem with that at all. Yeah. I didn't have a problem with it. It don't have to be the first fight. But
I'm kind of starting to want to see it.
You
want
to see it now?
Just because of the talk and, you know, seeing him on Instagram and, you know, the weight looking like it's nothing to him, you know. Yeah. And I really want to see him carry his power up to 140, you know.
I mean, it's going to be interesting when it happens, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Now, a lot of people, you know, they disagree. And then there's a lot of people that would agree that Bud is Fighter of the Year. But so many people just overlook his record. And they continue to think that what Vasyl Lomachenko is doing makes him number one. How do you feel about that, man?
Well, like I said earlier, and I mean, to each his own. People, I don't think it's one legitimate scoring system on how you can go about judging your fight of the year. I don't know. But people going to see different things. People going to see what this guy who came out of nowhere did in a year's time and really be impressed with that. You know, me personally, I need to see more because, like you said, that fight of the year don't come from 1 year. It comes from a steady progression. You know, the year before, what did you do the year before? That's not to say you couldn't have a bad year and have a good year and get fight of the year. You know what I mean? But I still just have to see more out of Lomachenko before I can really put him in the realms of a Terrence Crawford, who's been around, who's been proving himself. You know, Andre Ward, who's definitely proving himself, been around. You know, you got to be careful the names you mention people with, to be honest. And you know what I mean? Lomachenko is still a work in progress. And if he has a good year next year, then maybe, yeah, he can get fight of the year. But he hadn't really done enough in my eyes, personally, to get the fight of the year. You know what I mean? Like I said, I mean, Triple G, I mean, he stayed on his undefeated road, you know, fighting whoever they put in front of him. You know, Charlo, you know, stayed on his undefeated road, you know, knocking guys out. It was a lot of guys who had interesting year this year, you know, besides Lomachenko. Hands down, he's one of the most popular guys this year, but that's it. Popular. That's
popular, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that kind of brings me to a statement I want to make is that I just feel like it's more popularity, just the exposure, he just fits the profile that a lot of casual fans, you know, they want to be they want him to be the best, you know, which he hasn't reached that status yet of being the best.
Absolutely.
Because like I say, to be the best, there's that unwritten path, you know, Andre Ward did it. Crawford did it. And the thing about it is you can just see it in them by the choices they make.
Right.
It's not always like, let's wait and see what the next guy's doing. No, I'm going to just keep going.
Right.
You know, I'm going to just keep moving forward and keep taking on the challenges. You know, I'm going to keep going up. I'm not going to be talking about, okay, I'm going to take less money. You know, I want more money to fight the less weight, you know, the lesser guy.
Right.
You know, whereas you see Crawford, you know his next step is going to be welterweight. And from here, it could be 154. Whereas Andre Ward, after he won the super middleweight crown, after super middle, it's going to be light heavyweight, you know, and it's going to be the best in that division. Whereas with Lomachenko's still up in the air. Are you going to stay at 130? Are you going to move back down? Are you going to go to 140?
Right.
Because if this was, you know, if he wanted to prove greatness right now, he should be saying, hey, Garcia's next.
Right.
Or Robert Easter's next.
Right.
Or Tank. Well, he is calling Tank, but I mean, you know, I'd rather him see I'd rather see Easter or Garcia to be honest, you know, for greatness.
Right.
But what do you think it's going to take for Crawford to really to get the respect that somebody like Floyd had to get?
One of the biggest and most powerful chess moves he can make right now would be washing Errol Spence. Not just beating him, washing Errol Spence. That's going to thrust him into another respect stratosphere. But to get the Floyd recognition, he needs more personality. He's a quiet guy. He ain't a Floyd. Yeah. He's not the brash and doing. He's a different type of guy. You know, he's more of an Andre Ward type personality. But respect wise,
right?
Respect
amongst wise, like hardcore.
Yeah, hardcore. I mean, that's what I say. I mean, if he washes Errol Spence, I mean, if he washes Errol Spence, I don't see anything else at 147 that really causes him a problem. If he washes Errol Spence, you know what I'm saying? Because that's like the most dangerous. There's other dangerous fights, but to me, Errol Spence really poses the most threat to him right now. So if he washes Errol Spence, I don't see anything else at 147 to really propel him higher than that. I mean, if you wash Errol Spence, a win over Keith Thurman is not going to make you higher. It'll be another belt. But to me, it doesn't really propel him further. So a guy like Terrence Crawford just has to keep winning. He's going to be under the radar. He's going to be the low end. You know what I mean? He's not going to be a De La Hoya and all that. He's going to have to work for everything he gets in. He'll be the guy that will get his rewards later on in his career.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that the Spence win is the biggest win that he can have at 147 just to get the respect. But I think the Thurman fight would, granted he wins Spence, I think the Thurman fight would be like a big financial gain for him. You know, that would push him in the right direction financially and exposure-wise. Just because, you know, Keith Thurman, he talks a big game and, you know, he's pulling in fans. So,
well, it would be the next kind of, you know, logical thing to do, pick up that other belt. But this is what you got to realize, that if Terrence Bud Crawford washes Errol Spence, that Thurman fight might not happen.
Oh.
It might not happen, dude.
Yeah.
So we always got to keep that in mind. It's not like these guys are the most gamiest guys. You know what I'm saying? So we have to see. We have to see. You know what I mean? I do think that would be smart. You know, going ahead and pick up another strap is definitely probably one of the bigger paydays at 147 for him, because Keith Thurman does have a name. But I mean,
it's going to take Keith Thurman to want to make the fight. It's going to
take some convincing, Keith Thurman to take that fight. And it's all probably going to depend on how the Errol Spence and, you know, Terrence Crawford fight looks. But Errol Spence has to get past Lamont Peterson first. So we jumping the gun a little bit here. It's a lot still up in the air in this state and, you know, needs to come to light before we can, you know, really say what's really going to happen. But, the next big thing is just Errol Spence, Lamont Peterson. What happens after that? Because that'll determine, you know, some more fights at 147 for 2018.
And just going back and looking at, you know, Crawford, his solid wins this year, back in May 20th when he took on Felix Diaz. You know, a lot of people felt that Felix Diaz was going to be too big and too strong for him. So, you know, Felix Diaz, he kind of blows up to being a welterweight. So I felt that was a really good fight for him to showcase how he can handle somebody. Size. Because, you know, Felix Diaz, he came off a win against Sammy Vasquez, who everybody thought was going to be the next hot thing, and he beat him up. And what did Crawford do to Felix Diaz? He did the opposite. He beat him up and stopped him. And that just shows you what type of skill he possesses.
Right.
You know, versus some guys, you know, that we don't really see. some guys, you know, that people are saying are the best, they still missing something where Crawford, he actually has to work hard, like you right, say, to right, get everything. Right. And he's still not getting that recognition. Like,
and because the one thing about him is you have to have a trained eye to see how gifted he is. I mean, to a common eye, he's just like a regular guy. Oh, he's just a boss. They don't, mm-hmm. you know, see what he's doing. So we looking at him, we saying, oh, damn, I'm seeing Sugar Ray Robinson. I'm seeing Floyd. I'm seeing glimpses of, you know, greatness in there. Mm-hmm. They don't see that. So mm-hmm. it's hard for them to see it until he's a hype job. When he's a hype job and he got highlight reels and he's on this, he's on Jimmy Kimmel, then everybody knows then. But, you know, until then, pretty much the guy like Terrence Crawford, he's fighting on such a high level that an untrained eye don't see it, ain't. That's just the bottom line. Yeah. They don't see what he's doing. You know, he has to like go out there and win these big fights for them and say, oh yeah, okay, mm-hmm. now I get it. We already see it.
Yeah.
I already seen it when I first saw him, man. I said the kid is special.
Yeah.
Before he had big wins and was doing all it unified, I said something. I like him. Mm-hmm. You know, I like him.
Especially know? Like, I brought that fight up, the Felix Diaz fight, because when you see Felix Diaz in there with a guy like Sammy Vasquez that was supposed to be like this undefeated prospect, you know, he's supposed to be the next hot thing, and Felix Diaz just manhandled him so easy. And then whenever Crawford gets in the ring with that guy that people say is going to beat him up, he just completely tames him.
Right.
You know, like you said, to the untrained eye, it's just like, okay, he's just another guy. Maybe Felix Diaz wasn't all that. No, he was all that.
Right.
You know, he was the guy that we thought he was, you know. Right.
Or maybe Sosa wasn't what y'all thought he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's what I'm saying. People are quick to
Sammy Vasquez.
I mean, Vasquez, yeah. mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Vasquez wasn't what they thought he was. You know, they're quick to give another guy props. But a guy like Terrence Crawford is like pulling teeth for you to say, dude, this kid is special. I need to keep my eye on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
You know, unless you have that brash Adrian Broner thing now. You notice that now. When you got that brash, over the top personality, then they're willing to pay attention to you. But Terrence Crawford, being a humble guy, which they want you to be,
mm-hmm.
you still don't want to give him the props. You know what I'm saying? He's still got to go out here and fight for everything, you know? So it's just that type of way, Ant. But I mean, at the end of the day, his skills are going to rise to the top, and people won't be able to dispute it. They won't be able to dispute it.
Yeah. And that's the thing with him. Like, that's his road. Like, he just has to keep going the path he's going, where you can't deny it. You know what I mean? Because if he let up one time, like with Wilder, it's not his fault. Like on the competition thing, you know, it's not his fault. It's the politics, but people can still try to downplay his wins all day long. Just because it's the politics, you know, heavyweight division is still different than the other divisions, you know. So when you try to get the best, sometimes they're going to be protected.
Exactly.
Because you stand to make more money in the heavyweight division, you know. So a lot of the guys that he want, he can't get.
So let's bring that up, Ant, because, you know, me and Ant earlier, we were talking about the fight of the year. We were talking about, you know, it's a couple of honorable mentions mm-hmm. that could easily, you know, slide in there depending on, you know, who's doing the.
And you kind of opened my eye up about, you know, who should be and who shouldn't be. You know, Giannis and Dizzo.
We had a little, you know, thing where, you know, Ant said that Anthony Joshua maybe would be number two because he did do some big things this year. And I kind of felt like, if you're going to mention AJ, you had to mention Deontay Wilder too, because he was pushing for big things this year. He was trying to do big things this year. You know, he was calling out people. He was trying to make fights. He was, you know, vocal. He was performing. But the politics kind of kept him from, you know, getting to the levels that he deserved to get to. Whereas old AJ, he's kind of just on this glass elevator right now, just going floor to floor to floor. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to him, but, you know, if you want to say AJ is in that mix, you got to say Wilder's in that mix too, because Wilder is gunning for that number one spot. He's trying to unify belts. He's, you know, he's going after the belts. Whereas though AJ, in my eyes, is not really going for the belts. He got the Klitschko belt because that was, to me, a strategic move. You know what I'm saying? Right. It was just a strategic move. You know, I'm not knocking it. It was a victory. But he ain't gunning for the top like Wilder's gunning for the top. You know, Wilder's getting resistance. You know, I just seen the statement he said.
Joshua is kind of giving the top.
He was giving the top.
He's giving the top. And, yeah.
Well, even Wilder just made a statement on boxing saying, he said, if I was white, things would be different. And I mean, we hate to always make it a black and white thing, but that's the truth. Things would be different for a guy like him. He's winning. He's charismatic. He's vocal. You know, I mean.
Well, look at it like this. Okay. Whenever Wilder asks for 50-50, people think he's being ridiculous.
Being ridiculous.
They think he's being, you know, a thief or
but
thug,
that right
trying
there,
to get the money.
Like, since you went to the mindset of people, he's being ridiculous.
He's being ridiculous. But when Tyson Fury, he wants the large portion of a Joshua fight, it's kind of like, okay, people are not giving him the same. They're not giving him the same. Yeah, they're not showing him the same hate, you know. And it's just like, okay, when he could just post up a video of him dancing in the ring and people are like, oh, the legit heavyweight's back. He coming back to knock AJ and Wilder out, you know. So it still plays a factor, you know.
All day long. But, you know, like we said, it is a couple of honorable mentions because this was a tremendous year for boxing. I mean, a lot of guys did big things this year, but to narrow it down to one, who was the one who went above and beyond, and it's only one guy who went above and beyond, and that's Mr. Terrence Crawford. I mean,
yeah.
So we kind of, you know, we agree on that because me and Ant pretty much see things the same way.
Yeah, we see it the same way because, like I said, we see that same path. We know, you know, it's not like, okay, we can brag because we can say we can see that path, you know, when a guy's destined for greatness. We've been watching boxing that long. We've seen it, you know, so many times. And and Bud, he hasn't stopped. He hasn't shown any path where he was like, hey, I want to stop, take a break. I want to, you know, think of my next fight. No, his next fight is already planned out.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like I was telling you, I know you disagreed with the Jeff Horn fight, but he kind of knows that Jeff Horn fight is going to open more doors, you know?
Yeah,
once he
yeah.
gets that other belt, you know, people are going to knock
it's
on
business
his
business wise, it's another
yeah,
belt.
Yeah, just a business deal. Like, business skill wise, he blows him out the water.
But the thing is, Jeff Horn is trying to outprice himself out the fight. So that might be a fight that don't even happen. So that was kind of my point. I mean, yeah it's something. It would have been a good business move, but in the scheme of things, it don't really matter. You know what I'm saying? Because this dude now, we see he's talking crazy. But I want to say, back to like we were saying, Ant, who has this year, who has accomplished the best stuff for the sport? And Terrence Crawford is what he accomplishes, what you want to see other fighters accomplishing. You know, being humble, coming in divisions, cleaning them out, getting the belts, unifying them, becoming undisputed, moving on. That's why I mean, who's done the best for the sport this year? Anthony Joshua didn't necessarily do a great service for the sport this year.
He just
you know what I'm saying?
He just put butts in seats, you know, and brought fans of, you know, from, you know, the UK, but he didn't really like do something solid like Crawford did.
Yeah, he didn't do all those things are like the lineal stuff in boxing, you know, bringing seats and all that stuff matters, but he didn't do.
He did the strategic move, like you said, just fought Klitschko.
Fought Klitschko. But I'm saying, if he wanted to do something good for the sport, he would. This Wilder fight would be more on his radar because we need to find out who's the best between these. That's what I'm saying. Bud did that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We know who the best at 140 is, and now he's going up to 147 to prove who's the best at 147. That's what I'm saying. Who did the best for the sport? Who did the most for the sport? You know, Triple G, he just kept winning. You know, AJ, he won some fights, but none of that, like, set up next year, really, too much. You know, we don't know what AJ is going to do next year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He might fight Tyson. He might fight Parker. We don't know what he's going to do, but we know next year we're going to see some big fights at 147 from Terrence Crawford. Ain't no denying.
There's no denying. Yeah, because, like, yeah, like I was just about to say about Triple G. Like you say, he was doing what he was supposed to do.
Doing what he's supposed to do.
But he wasn't surpassing it.
He wasn't going,
you know,
above
and
beyond.
He didn't blow Canelo or Jacobs out the water. He stayed in there, but he didn't. He just did his job.
He just did enough. You know, kind of.
Yeah, which ain't bad.
Yeah, it ain't.
You know, Jermell Charlo, he did enough. You know, solid wins, but from here, we want to see that next step. Just, you know, which I'm not saying he won't do it, but he's on the path.
Yeah. But like
when
we
he
said,
start taking belts,
it takes a couple of years to become fighter of the year. So this year, okay,
it's going to depend on what you did last year.
His name is in the mix this year. You know, all these guys' names are in the mix for next year if they don't get it this year.
Yeah.
You know, we had to see what happens between the trifecta with the heavies next year. You know, the
147s
and 154. We got to see what happens, but you know, like we was just saying, the big picture, who went above and beyond, man. And to me, it only goes to one guy. I mean, people can debate it all day. I'm not going to debate it because, like I said, who did the most for the sport? And that's how I feel. Nobody else can really tell me another fighter who did more for the sport this year.
Who didn't just unify? Who became undisputed, you know?
It became like, undisputed.
I'm not going to lie. When I watch boxing, I look for undisputed champions. You
undisputed,
know what I mean?
Yeah, because that's what it's about.
That's what it's all about.
You
want to
be the best. You want to be the best. Boxing is not just, I had 50 titles. I want to say I was the best at 135, 140, 147, 154. You want to say you were the best. How you know you was the best? Because I had all the titles at that time. I
took them from everybody, you know?
Other than that, how can you say you're the best? Because that's how you say you're the best.
You can't, because if you say, well, this guy, he got a title, and this guy got a title, then you'd be like, well, I'll move up and fight the next challenge, you know?
Come on, that's what I'm saying.
You know, that's kind of the road that a lot of young fighters are kind of doing, just because they get the wrong idea about making money. And making history. They think that, just like we said this before, just grabbing belts is going to make history.
Right.
But it's all in what you do with that belt, man. Because this might be an episode again, like talking about the worth of a belt. You know, the belt, whenever you win it, and then you just vacate it.
Yeah, well, we kind of spoke on that, and we know that it's not really worth anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In today's time, it's about, like you say, what you do with the belt. You know, like we saying, fight of the year this year. You know, we can't even have this conversation without, if we talking about honorable mentions, putting Andre Ward in the mix. You're talking about a guy who hasn't been overly active, came and went up two weight classes and accomplished what he accomplished this year. So, I mean, those are things that... Mm-hmm. are beneficial to the sport, because we want the young guys coming in and say, this is what you got to do to prove you the best. You got to go up two weight classes and fight the boogeyman sometimes. That's what I'm saying. And who else is doing this stuff? These other guys, what AJ did, that didn't make a young guy say, I can do that and 10 fights, fight the heavyweight champion. And you know, that's not realistic. You know what I mean?
See, with guys like Ward and Crawford, there's a good balance between, okay, we need our business right, but at the same time, we got to set that example and show these guys that we fight.
Yeah, our legacy.
We still fighters.
Type,
you know, we want
to
be businessmen, but we fighters.
Right.
We fighters first,
right.
You know?
Right.
When
right.
we get in that
right.
ring, we fighting the best, because our legacy is still important.
Yeah, because your legacy don't got zeros on it.
Your legacy ain't got,
got no zeros on it. You know what I'm saying? It's about what you did in the ring. You know what I mean? Not what you took out the ring. You took checks out the ring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, those are the guys that are setting examples that we want to say to young guys, okay, man, that's what I want to do. Okay, I'm moving up, calling, you know what I'm saying? I mean, in due time, not saying you jump out the blue and call out the worst guy.
And get knocked
but,
down.
Yeah, these guys are paying their dues behind the scene. They're working to these levels, and that's what I'm saying. And guys working to these levels, you know what I mean? And it was a good year for boxing, but like I say, it's just, only a few names that stand at the very top.
Yeah, because as a whole, we had knockouts, we had, you know, just good matchups, good fights that were supposed to happen. But to be able to stand out, you know, maybe, you know, if that one fight didn't stand, it might have just been another year in boxing. But for me, Terrence Crawford, he was able to just stand out of all of that, all this madness going on in boxing, you know.
I mean, dude, even what Billy Joe did in the last quarter of boxing, man, just kind of spoke volumes, even though he didn't have a busy year, but your one performance to be a performance on that level against a very game opponent was very impressive.
Yeah.
Is he fight of the year? By no means.
No.
Maybe next year, maybe the year after, because it takes a year or two to set it up.
I give him a lot of credit for that performance, you know, because people go online now, they're saying that he did what he was supposed to do. David Lemieux is one-dimensional. Yeah, he is one-dimensional, but he's knocked a lot of people out.
Yeah.
But Billy Joe, he took the guy to school. He put on a performance that a lot of fighters can learn from.
He didn't just survive, dude. He put on a clinic, and like I say, very, very, very good performance by him. He put his name in the mix for next year, fighter of the year. You know, he get another 2-3 performances like that, a couple of big names. He could be that guy next year.
Yeah.
He definitely in the mix.
Yeah, he's definitely in there now, because like, and I just want to say, yeah, that performance is just like, you want to learn how to box, that's a good performance to watch. That's how I felt when I watched it. It was something you could really appreciate, you know?
Yeah. But in the same token, at letting them see that Billy Joe making it look easy. Don't think it's just that
easy.
It's
not easy.
What he was doing
is
a lot of skill. Don't think you can just go in there and dance around and
it's
do
skill.
The wave and all.
Yeah,
no, you're going to get knocked out.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Out, but
the dude
if his you skill slow it level down is high. And watch it, yeah, you can learn a thing or two. Yeah,
don't get it twisted.
Yeah, don't get it twisted. So on to the next topic, knockout of the year. So this is the only topic that we don't really agree on. But I mean, to a certain extent, but I'll let you go first, Pete.
Well, me, to be honest, like I said, it was a lot of good knockouts this year. Some from, you know, bigger name fighters, some from smaller name fighters. And people, depending on what you're looking for in a knockout, you know, you could call it, you know, you might have a different favorite. But for me, you know, the knockout that stood out the most would have to be, you know, Deontay Wilder versus Bermain Stiverne too. The way he went about coming out in one round and unleashing, you know, bombs, fancy footwork, body language, everything that you would want to do when you're making a statement, and to get a guy out of there in one round, and even the manner of how Stiverne's body collapsed was just, it was dramatic, the whole thing about it. And that just really covered all my things for a knockout of the year. You know what I mean? It kind of was like he went out and said, he told me before the fight he was going to knock him out in one round, and that's kind of what he went out and did, you know. And like I said, he had a crazy year, guys, was testing dirty, pulling out, and it was just like he had a lot of built-up steam and, you know, animosity in him, and he went and let it all out in the ring, and it made a statement. It put the heavyweights on notice that, to me, Deontay Wilder is real. That right hand is real, and to me, that was my favorite knockout this year, to me, you know. But definitely was, with the whole year was full of knockouts.
That it definitely was it was one of my choices in there, man. It was definitely up there, man. Cause like you saying, everything you said. My question is like, what makes a knockout of the year? It's not just the knockout; it's everything surrounding it,
right?
And it's just everything, like you explained, the build up to it, the statement you're trying to make, the whole significance of who you knocking out.
Right.
And like you said, those words too just make it a knockout of the year, because he said that I'm going to knock you out in the first round.
Yeah.
And then when you live up to it, that's just another thing that adds to it, you know, to make it knockout of the year. But for me, man, I had to go with Jermell Charlo, his first round KO over Erickson Lubin.
Very nice.
Same with this one. There was a lot of talk. No, actually, Lubin, he was doing more talking. Mm-hmm. You know, like I told you, Lubin, he's a quiet kid because he had a good knockout early this year. And, you know, I thought high thoughts of him, you know. And in a way, I kind of felt that he was taking the fight a little too soon. But then when I saw him training and, you know, the exchange of words, it was like, okay, maybe he is ready. But Jermell, you know, he's out to make a statement. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are saying he don't have power. But he's on like a knockout streak.
Right.
You know, he's knocking guys out. And Charles Hadley, the fight before that, was a good knockout. You know, a lot of people are saying he doesn't possess that one punch knockout power. And that was the kind of the reason I picked this as knockout of the year, because people were doubting him.
Right.
And he wanted to prove he had one punch knockout power. And what did he do? Knocked a kid out in one round.
He made a statement that night.
Yeah.
He that Charlo has power too.
Yeah, because when you look to Erickson Lubin, he looked game. You know, he looked ready. He looked focused. But it's like you said, like it's always that, you know, it's crazy that just that one punch. You know, that's the thing about boxing. That one punch shut all that down.
Right, it's levels to it.
Yeah, like we could say what if all day, but that one right uppercut that he feinted him into. And he did, like we said, he did one of the biggest mistakes. He turned his head and leaned into it.
And see, that's the thing, too, and what people don't understand, setting up the knockout. That punch that he walked into, that was set up.
It was set up
for him to walk into it. Yeah, so it was just a he knew thing. That this guy does this move. He moves his head this way. So I'm going to throw this little short, beautiful punch.
He's going to look this way.
Yeah,
and
studying tape. And it was perfectly executed. You know, it was perfectly executed.
Yeah. And
you know?
In the way his body just reacted to that punch. It was just over, man. It just,
right.
He just collapsed.
And like, the difference in that knockout is like, that was a calculated knockout. That's, I watch film of this guy. He has this bad habit. This is a punch I need to throw to exploit that bad habit. Whereas though, the Wilder knockout was just a raging bull. Just
guns blazing.
Guns blazing. Any means necessary. I'm getting you out of here in one round. You know what I mean?
Whereas his that was sharpshooter.
Yeah, like, I'm more systematic. Moves, yeah.
You know, and then bang,
this
he
was
goes
like,
down.
No matter what you do, I'm getting you out of here in a round. And those are two different knockouts, totally.
Two different knockouts, you know, but they make
same results.
Same results, and they both make big statements.
Yeah,
you know?
So, I mean, that's the beauty of a knockout. I'm a boxing fan, and I'm a fan of a knockout like most boxing fans, but I also know that it's other parts of the sport too, but it's different knockouts. Yeah. It's different knockouts, you know what I mean?
And it's like we say too, like a lot of people just want to see knockouts, but it's just the build up to one,
right?
And just setting up one. And like we said, you know, when a guy says, I'm going to knock you out in one round and he follows it through, that just makes it better.
Right.
And if for Charlo, it's like when Charlo says, you know, I don't have punching power. Oh, yeah. Boom. Right. Right. Knocks a guy out. Right. That just makes him better. It makes it more credible, you know?
It's like when you hear fighters, they say, well, man, are you going for the knockout? If the knockout comes, you know, that means if it's a setup for the knockout, I'm going to take it.
I'm going to take it.
You know what I mean? I'm not just going to go out there lobbing punches, hoping I land on the guy's chin and knock him out. You know, I'm going to take it if it presents
you. That's usually when you won't get one.
You know what I mean? Exactly. But people need to understand that's what they mean when they say that if the opportunity presents itself, if the knockout comes, I'm going to take it. You know what I mean? A guy's not going to just come sticking his chin out and, you know, present it to you that way.
It's like you said with the Lubin, you got to wait for bad habits.
Bad habits.
Faints.
Tendencies.
You got to make him come out.
You know, set traps.
Set traps.
You know, it's a lot going on in the ring, you know. So those definitely were like two beautiful knockouts, but we also had, you know, Terrence Crawford over, you know,
Julius Ndongo,
which was a beautiful another setup body punch, beautiful body punch.
Anytime somebody can knock somebody out, the body punch is amazing to me.
Those are three totally different knockouts, and you know what I'm saying.
Because that fight, it was a fight where guy was more so game too. You know, he looked game, and then all of a sudden he was down.
He was short circuited.
Yeah,
he was game. Then somebody pulled the plug on him.
Shoot, man.
No.
But yeah, that's my knockout, and that was your knockout. What about fight of the year? What would you consider like the one fight that just defined last year as far as like matchup significance and result?
I mean, to be honest, I would really have to go back and really dig into that, because that's a big, that's a whole show right there. Yeah, that's a whole show right there, to be honest, because, I mean, it's different.
To be continued, yeah.
Yeah, it's different levels, different things, different reasons why.
I'd have to think about that, too. Yeah, I think I'm thinking that. All right, y'all. So now we're going to do something a little different today. Damn. It is the holiday season.
Yeah, man.
So, This is P's out. This is all P's idea. We both agreed on it. We both agreed on this. But today we decided to do a little gift exchange for y'all. So that's why we're recording it, so y'all can see what we got. But
I mean, because we get together, we do the podcast, but this is my guy right here too. You know what I mean? So we want, you know, people to understand this.
Yeah.
You know, it's business, but it's personal too.
Yeah,
you know
it ain't just business. Yeah,
if I hated this
it's a
dude,
friendship.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here with this dude if I hated him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
because this is a business that we want to do, so we got to like each other.
Right. Pretty much. You know? Pretty much. That was a prerequisite. Do you like me? Yes. Do I like you? Yes.
Right.
You know.
But I got my gift right.
All right.
I got mine right here. It's rap
well,
like
well, hey, well, hold on. We got to tell them, first of all, it's the Ugly Sweater episode.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know y'all probably know the star already, but, you know, we got the Ugly Sweaters, Ugly Sweatshirts.
I actually like that one, man. I like this one, too.
This one dope. Yeah, I like this. Mike Tyson, Merry Christmas. You know, so yeah, this gangster,
man,
right,
I wanted to get a boxing one, but I just got a funny one, man. So
I mean,
I got holes,
it's all good. And area codes over there, holes in the area codes.
For y'all don't know, that was a Ludacris song, man. That was from like 17 years ago now, man. I feel old, man.
Damn, is that old?
2002? Wow. Nah, yeah, 15 years. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
wow.
But
wow.
Yeah, man, but I got your gift right here.
Yeah, so we just, you know, a little token of appreciation, man. We've been doing this 24, 25 weeks straight, man. So, you know.
It was rap. You know, it's man rap. So yeah, that's
I see. Well, it's better than my rap. Let me see. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, man.
Let me see if I can figure out what it is. Y'all see the rap one, right? Y'all got to get the man rap.
Yeah, it's man rap right there.
Okay, got the jump rope, y'all. You know, because we all about that boxing life, you know, not just talking it about.
Yeah, got to work on that rhythm.
Shape and, oh, man, this right here is what I was waiting for right here, my speedball. I'm going to have to do some demonstrations later on right now.
Yeah.
I ain't going to make a fool of myself.
We can't be
in
here knocking that ball.
Yeah, I ain't going to make a fool of myself right now.
Yeah.
Let me go home and work on this.
Yeah, work on it for a little bit.
That's
yeah.
dope, man. I appreciate that, my brother.
Yeah, yeah, no problem,
that,
man.
I appreciate that. Yeah. All right, don't break yours out, man. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not rap.
Oh, no, it's all good, you know.
I wanted to get you something else, man. What I really was going to get you was a speed bag to your Everlast thing.
Oh, to my platform.
But I didn't know exactly what, you know, I didn't have the item. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
I got
the right
size.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's cool, that's cool.
I wanted to wait on that, but I seen this right here, and this is something, like, that I put thought into, and it's something that you always say, man, so... I figured you would like it when you see it, so here you go, my brother. Merry Christmas, man.
Something I always say.
You say it every episode.
Do I? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, you know.
Say it every episode.
You say it every episode.
Oh.
You say it every episode.
I say it every episode, man.
So, I mean.
Boxing is life.
I was like. You know, can't go wrong with that. Don't you say it every episode,
eh? I do.
All right, there you go. What you think, man?
I ain't
got to
say it. I'm going to just wear it every time. I'm going to still say it. I love it, man. Yeah, boxing
is
my thing.
I got your color for you. I said, my man, like gray. It's medium.
Yeah, that's hot right there. Look at
that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple and plain, but that's what
it is. I mean, yeah, that's what I am.
To the point, boxing is life. So I say,
yeah,
my man.
Yeah, like that.
Man. I'm glad you liked it. I definitely like my stuff. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait to go home and screw around with this thing.
Y'all be on the lookout on Instagram. He gonna be posting work up there.
Don't hold your breath when he's ready. Don't hold your breath because I got to get right with it first.
Yeah, when he's ready.
Because I already know, Ant, it's easier than it look. I say Lomachenko making it look real easy.
Harder than
but I ain't Lomachenko, so look out for them. But don't hold your breath, man. I gotta get tight with it. You know what I'm saying? But thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Oh yeah, yes, no problem.
Like
appreciate
I said,
this,
man. You know stuff. We doing it from the heart. Doing what we love to do. Like I always say, man, we doing what we love to do. And we ain't going to stop.
We ain't going to stop, man. We ain't going to stop, man. I mean, you know, 2017 was a good year for boxing and for us.
For sure.
You know, we've been grinding since, you know, the very first episode in July.
Yeah.
And we 25 deep.
So, yeah, we want to give ourselves a little pat on the back. We've been in the game maybe 6 months, but we've been staying committed and focused, and you know, like I say, we 24 episodes, 25.
Oh yeah, this is 25 right
here. We doing episode 25 now. You know, we on a few different platforms. We getting followers. We getting subscribers. So I'm happy. We're definitely happy with the progress we've been making. But 2018, y'all, we gotta level up. We gotta take the Jab Effect to the next level next year,
you know,
y'all.
Yeah,
so we need y'all to rock with us. We need y'all to support us because. Next year, we trying to take this thing to the next level.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, like I always tell P, you know, when we start this, ain't no looking back.
Ain't no looking back,
ain't
bro.
No looking back.
Ain't no looking back. You know? We ain't coming for the number one spot. So, y'all be on the lookout for that, man. Show.
Oh, yeah. So, that's pretty much all we got. That's all you got, P.
That's all I really got, man. Yeah. You know, it's time to go home and let everybody be with your family. Throw the podcast on and listen to some boxing if you want to hear some boxing. But it's time for everybody to get home with their loved ones and enjoy the holiday, and you know.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is our gift to y'all. You know, so like I always say, just go ahead and subscribe to us on iTunes. You know, you can give us a review. Subscribe on Google Play. Follow us on SoundCloud, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And, you know, if y'all, you know, see us on IG, you know, just drop a little comment. You know, let us know that you're listening. Or, you know, if there's anything y'all want to hear about boxing, you know, let us know. You know, we'll talk about it. You know, we can talk about it. So,
yeah, let's talk about it, man. That's our thing. Let's talk about it. You know, y'all got some questions, some topics. Let's talk about it, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, yeah, we're taking a little break, but, you know, for the holidays, but, you know, we already got a good hot episode planned for next week. You know,
we're gonna keep working though.
But yeah, that's all we got for today. You know, like always, my name's Ant.
It's your boy P.
And we about to sign out. So, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate.
For sure.
You know, y'all be safe out there. Peace.
Happy holidays. Y'all be safe.